The things that God has showed us how we can begin to prepare ourselves to face a new year, to begin to walk this journey of life that is our way, which sometimes is going to be hard. It is going to be difficult at times, and sometimes it's going to be glorious. But in all of the ways of life, we need to do those three things that we read in Hebrews chapter 12. First of all, we need to learn to cut free of the things that hold us back. We need to purge our life of those things that the world would deceive us to think that we need, we can't do without, and yet many times those very things are what are sapping us of our strength and our purpose in life. We also need to learn to walk with endurance. We need to learn how to bear with the difficulties of life. We need to learn how to embrace the hurts, that there are going to be hurts, and we need to understand that people are not perfect, and we can bear with one another as we understand that this is a journey of endurance. And instead of letting everything just begin to be the end of all of our happiness and everything that we had planned, that we can understand that we can endure it. We can go through it. It will not destroy us. And then the final thing we looked at was that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, that when we begin to realize that Jesus is our focus, then you know what? We can go through anything. When we get our eyes on Jesus, this is why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. You know what? It doesn't matter if I don't get what I want, or I get beaten down, or people let me down, or people disappoint me. I can do all things because I'm doing it for Christ. These things of life are not the meaning of my life. When we begin to understand that, it gives you a new strength. It gives you a new ability to live life. So with that being said, we want to come back to then what is our mission that we're called to live? We don't want to just prepare for life and then just say, okay, I'm prepared. Whatever comes my way, I'm just going to take it. God wants us to do more than prepare, but now he wants us to go out on mission. There is a purpose that God has for us, and not only for you individually, but for us as a church, us as a body. God has brought us together as a body that have one purpose, to serve God, that it is because of Jesus that we have come together in his mission. And as a church, we have a mission statement, and we believe that this is the mission that God has sent us on. And it's very simple, and we want everyone to know it. If you're part of this church, and we've talked about this before, you should know that this is our mission. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to explore it and break it down and hopefully inspire us to be back on mission, because it's easy to get off of mission. We creep and we drift. That's natural. And so we need to sometimes be brought back to mission. And so this is our mission statement as a church, that we are called to be a church that is loving, following, and sharing Jesus. That's simple to remember. And yet it will encompass everything that we do. If we will keep this in our mind, that we are a church called to be loving, following, and sharing Jesus. In our life, we need to ask ourselves, am I loving, following, and sharing Jesus? This is my mission. Am I on mission? Am I carrying that out? Today, we're going to look at this first part, which is loving. And it's the first part, it's the most important part. It is the foundation of everything that God has called us to be. We are called to love. Everything that God is about love. It says that God created us out of love, the desire to share his love, the desire to have someone to love him. Not that he needed someone to love, because he was full of love. It says that for eternity, they are in perfect harmony between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so they live in this Trinity, this harmony of love. But it's not because of just the love that they have, but they desire us to enter into that same experience of love. And so our first mission is not to believe as a Christian. It's not to live a life with that philosophy make sure that we are following all of his commands and doing those things. It comes down to one thing. Do you love the Lord? Are you experiencing his love? Is that the very focus of your heart? So we look at the scripture, and it says in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28, it says this: "Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him this, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him and said, 'The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, there is no other commandments greater than these.'" This is such a great commandment that God has called. He said, there's nothing else I care about. You know what? All I want from you is that you love me. In fact, you mean so much to me. It's not about what you can do for me. It's not about how good of a person you are. It's not about whether you obey me or not. But will you love me? He created each of you because he loves you. And all he desires is that we love him. In fact, when we look in Revelations, this is one of the greatest things that he holds in his heart, that he weeps over us. And he says this in Revelations chapter 2. He says, after he extolled everything that they had done, you know, "I know your works, that you serve me and you're faithful and you stand against people that are wicked. But there's one thing I have against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. And if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." See, God says, no matter what you have done for me, if there's no love, it doesn't matter. God says, am I special to you? You see, we were created in the image of God, and so those same desires that we have, the reason we have those desires is because they are a reflection of God. And sometimes we forget that God, he desires our love. He is not someone that is looking to judge us whether we are good enough, but he actually weeps over us. That he has sought after us. It says that in the Old Testament, when he talked about his children Israel, which were a example for us, that it says that I have sought you like a husband that has been betrayed, and yet I seek you and I love you. And he wants to draw us back. And he says, you've lost your first love. Do whatever it takes to come back to what you did in the first. When you first knew me, when you first realized who I was. You see, this is God's desire for us. And so many times we drift away from that, and we drift into religion, and we drift into church stuff, and we drift into our own life, and we forget that there's a God who wants our love. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to guide your life. He wants to be part of your hurts. It says that we have a high priest who understands how we feel. That's the reason why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come just to fulfill the law and to die for us so that you'd be saved. He came so that he might know us, so that he might feel us, that he might weep with us, that he might laugh with us, that we would be his and he would be ours. We need to come back to that very basic thing that God wants us to just know him and to love him. And it is in that love that we fulfill our mission. When we love God, here's the greatest thing about loving God. It's not that we make God feel better. It's not that when we love God, then God feels like, okay, everything's okay. When we love God, we actually fulfill our purpose. We begin to experience the joy of life because we were created to love God. And so it is in loving God that we begin to defeat those things that steal our joy. It is in simply loving God that we find ourselves to be able to be overcomers against the things that this flesh put upon us. So here's the first question that we ask. Why do we love God? And I think, you know, it's a simple question, but we need to ask ourselves this because sometimes we forget why we love God. Well, just because I'm supposed to. He's God and I need to love him. And how many know that when someone tells you that you need to love me, it doesn't quite really make you feel all that great? Okay, great, I'll love you, but it becomes a duty. And a duty is not a love relationship. God never gave us his guidelines and his word to put upon us a burden of duty. It is always something that draws us to love him. So we need to ask ourselves, why do I love God? Or maybe why don't I love God? Maybe I've forgotten. And just real quick, and we're just going to throw these out and look at them. The first thing, why do we love God? And I love this, is because he's beauty. I'm going to tell you why you can love God, because he is worth loving. We just love God because he is everything that's good in life. You see, the word of God says that everything good that you receive comes from God. Now, the enemy will make you think that it came from the world, or it came from your own effort, that I worked for this. I made this happen. You need to understand that God created everything. It was a gift of God to give you breath and energy and intellect. And he takes pleasure in giving you that ability because he loves you so much. You see, the beauty is not just around us, but it's in us. The pleasure that you feel comes from God. Now, the problem that makes him weep is that we have twisted that. And we have warped his pleasure into something that we control rather than giving him glory. And then we have twisted the pleasures and the beauty that he has given to where even those pleasures end up destroying us because we have used them for our own selfish desire. But no matter how much the enemy has twisted the pleasures of this life, whether it is drugs and sex and selfishness and money, and all of those things are good when we use them in the way that God has meant them to be. There is nothing created on this earth that was not good. It is simply when we begin to tell God, you are not going to tell me how to use it, I will do it myself, that we twist the beauty of God into things that destroy us and empty us out. But God is beauty. All we have to do is look around us. It says in the Bible that creation shouts the beauty of God. And I want you to look around, and we all have experienced the beauty of God. We have seen places and things that are beautiful. We've had experiences in our life that are beautiful, even if they were short-lived. And see, that's the other thing, that sin has destroyed the beauty of God. It is not God's desire that death should happen. It is not God's desire that love is short-lived and people let us down. sometimes we blame God for things that he didn't do, and yet we give credit to the world when the world and sin is what is cheating us out of the beauty of God. We need to turn that anger and that disappointment and that criticalness, instead of turning it on God, which is what we do, we need to turn it where it should be, which is on sin and on this world and the deceitfulness and wickedness of our own heart. That is what is destroying us. It was not God. And yet so many times we blame God because my life is not the way I want it. And God weeps over us because he knows that we live in a broken world, but it's broken because of what we have done. It's broken because of our own selfishness. We look around and the beauty of God is all around us. And in this broken world, if this broken world is beautiful, if we can see the beauty of things and experience things together in this world, can you imagine what it would be like when the world is recreated, when it is put back together? The beauty of God is a reason to love him. We need to come back to that acknowledgement of the beauty of God, that his beauty is in the little things of life. We can see it in every little thing. Do we see the beauty of God in our life? Another thing is creation. Now, I'm not talking about just the creation of the world. We just talked about that. I'm talking about the fact that he created you. The reason we love him is because God created me. Now, it's not, this is the problem with this world. We have bad examples. We have our own parents and mothers and fathers, and hopefully we've had good situations, but some of us have had bad situations to where we've been in a place where it's nothing but duty. I made you, and I can take you out of the world. That's not really something that engenders love in our heart. But you see, God created us not in that way, not to be slaves, not to lord it over us, but he created us out of a sense of absolute joy. This is what we need to understand. You were created by God's heart to be purposeful, to be special, to be nurtured because he loves you. I know sometimes we look in the mirror and say, we don't love ourselves. Well, God, you didn't create me right. Many times we use this as a reason not to love God because I don't like what God has created in me. But it's because we do not see, and this is where we need to understand that we have been blinded by the brokenness of sin. But that's okay. God still is working on you. He has a purpose for you. He is creating in you something that is special, and he does not give up on you. You need to understand that you are special to him. And that is a reason to love him, that he chose me. You are not just an accident. He knew you. You were on purpose created by God to walk with him so that he could show himself to you. You are that special. We are unique. We are individual. And I think sometimes we forget that and we just think we're one of the many. We just fit in. I'm just part of the church. But even as part of the church, you need to understand that he created you, that you are special to him. You are unique to him. There is no one that he overlooks. There is no one that you're just a second child. You're just a stepchild. Every one of us are the number one in his eyes, even when we don't feel it. You have to understand the enemy of our heart and our soul is trying to steal that from us. Because Satan does not want you to feel loved by God, to feel special. And so he will do everything for you to focus only on the broken parts. But you need to know that you are a special creation of God. And he's not done. We have not even seen the end of what God is going to do in us. Third thing is his care. We love him because he cares. You see, so many times we see all the broken things and the hurt things, but you need to know that he cares in the midst of sorrows. Just because he doesn't, we might say, well, if you care, you would take everything away. That's not care. That's just like saying a kid that tells their parents, if you love me, you would give me this. How many know, as any parent know, that not everything that they want is good for them? And thank God a true care sometimes allows us to go through things that we don't like. But I thank God, I love him because he doesn't answer all my prayers with a yes. He answers all my prayers, but not always with a yes. But it's because he loves us. When he does not give me what I want, or if he doesn't take me out of some pain, I know it's because he cares. And that if I'm going through this, it's the best thing for me because he cares. You see, we need to understand that he cares. If he created us, then he knows what's best. And I have a father that cares about me more than just giving me what I want. Because you know what? When you give someone what you want, what it really does, it's not loving them. It's more loving yourself. It's easier for me just to give them what they want and get them out of my hair. That's not love. God loves us enough to make hard choices, even though it breaks his heart when we don't like it and we rebel against him. And yet he still cares. Because he cares about us, that our tantrum fits are not gonna make him change his plan to bless you. And if it takes the pain to bless you, God cares enough about you. And I know sometimes we say, I wish God didn't care so much then. It'd be better if he didn't, but he does, and he will not stop. And I love him for that. And then there's times that he does care, and I feel his care. And he comes in, and he's that quiet voice in the midst of a dark night when we are lonely and fearful, and he is there, and his presence gives us peace and calm. He cares in moments when there is a blessing and he brings goodness into our life because he cares. It says that we can take all of our cares and cast them on him because he cares for us. He touches, he heals. In his time, he even prospers us. And it's because he cares. The fourth thing, we love him because you know what? He gives me purpose. I love him because without him, what's the meaning in life? Tell me. I know we want to make as much money as we want and we like to achieve those things, but are you telling me that's all that life is about? Solomon had everything in the world. And you know what? At the end of his life, he said, it's vanity. I'm more empty than ever before. Is this all life is about? To get everything you want, to get everyone's praise, to get just what you want, to enjoy all of life, and then what? You're gonna die and become worm food? And then nothing? Oh, well, I'll worry about that later. How foolish are we? And you know deep in your heart, this world is not satisfying you. If you got everything you want, it's not gonna fill that empty void. God gives me a purpose. You see, God created me not just for me to be, he had a specific purpose for me. It says that I am his workmanship, a masterpiece created for good works that he planned for me to do before I was ever created. You know what? God has a purpose for you that you don't even realize yet because this life is only a staging. In the next life, in the new heavens and the new earth, we're not gonna be floating on around clouds just bored to death. What's going on? There's gonna be a purpose. And we have yet to even seen the purpose that you have. You think of all the creative things that you would like to accomplish now, you're gonna accomplish even more than that in the life that God has for you. There is a monumental purpose for you. And I know sometimes we can't see beyond this world, but there is something that fills my very desire for meaning. It is gonna be a meaning that not only you share with God, but with one another, that we are gonna see the meaning in one another and appreciate that in each other. That's what God gives us. That's what God shows us, we love that verse in Jeremiah. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bless you, not to curse you. This life is a cursing. We live in a cursed world, but it says all creation groans, waiting for the time that God is going to reveal himself, and it will be made new. We need to understand there is a purpose beyond you getting up in the morning, going to work, coming home, having dinner, going to sleep, taking vacation, enjoying that time, coming back, forgetting vacation, looking forward to the next, and just running the rat mill. We're on the wheel, just going the same things over and over. There is a bigger purpose than that, and it's only through God that you find it. And that is why we love God, because he gives me meaning and purpose. Next thing is instruction. Many people, I love God because he gives me laws. I love God because he's given me boundaries. How is that something to love God for? You know what? Because God loves me enough that he has given me instructions to be better. In other words, he is a coach. He is the person that is going to make us champions. He is going to train us up to be better than we could ever be on our own. It is through his instructions, it is through his guidance and his wisdom that he does not leave us alone. You see, he gives us beautiful boundaries that give us freedom. You see, boundaries are not meant to limit us. It is the boundaries that allow us to be all that we can be, because without boundaries, we end up going wrong directions. We fall off cliffs. We cause ourselves harm. Boundaries keep us safe to do everything that our heart desires. That's why David said, I love your law, O God. I meditate on it day and night, and even as I read your law, and he didn't even know Jesus yet. He only had the Old Testament law, and yet he realized that in the law was God's beauty, that he was not trying to limit us and keep us in line, but that those laws and that instruction were the very means that God was making me into a champion. Without instructions, I'm going to be a loser. Without instructions, I'm going to step out on that field and look like an idiot because I don't know what to do. But yet God gives us training in righteousness, that as we choose to follow his discipline, and yes, it's discipline, but discipline makes us great. You see, fools are the ones that don't want discipline because it's easy, and I don't want you to tell me what not to do. Well, good, but in the end, they're going to be the ones dying of heart disease and losing out on everything because they couldn't even do the work, and they have not learned discipline. It is the instruction of God that I love him for, that because he has made me a champion. The final thing, I love God because he has redeemed me. You know what? If anything else that we love God for is that God came and died for me. I was broken. I was lost in my own despair, in my own anger towards God. And yet he still came and died and suffered for me. See, many times we forget he suffered for your complaining little attitude. We are whining little babies that God really should have just slapped us and thrown us away, and yet he came to be berated by us, to suffer for us, that we might be redeemed and adopted and brought back to him. He was willing to get down into the mud and dirt of our neuroses and anxieties and fears, and to hold us in the midst of the mud and the sewer that this world is, and let us know that you are purchased. I will pay the price for you. I will pay the price for your own choices. And you need to know that you are redeemed by a God who is bigger than that. Do we realize what he has done for us? He has redeemed us. He has paid the price for you, for you personally. Again, if he created you individually, he also died for you individually. You are the reason he came and suffered, and you are redeemed. The word of God says that we are not our own, and we have not been purchased with things like gold and silver, but we have been purchased with a much more precious price, the very blood of God himself. And therefore, we are not our own. He says, because of that, let us glorify God. In other words, let us love him. Let us love the one who laid himself down for us. He deserves that. And how could we not love someone that would do that for us? The only way we don't love what he did for us is we refuse to admit that we even were lost. And that's the pride of this flesh. But if we will ever realize that we are undeserving, broken people, then the price that he paid becomes a treasure to love. So can we remember these things? This is our mission as a church, to lift up the reasons why we love God. That's why we're here. We're not here to do a religious service. We're not here because it's Sunday and I need to come to church and to be a good person and I can feel good about it. We are here because God is beautiful. We are here today because we are unique, created, special people that God has brought into existence. We are here because God has cared for me and loved me. We are here because I have a purpose that he is making me into someone with meaning. We are here because he is molding us and disciplining us and guiding me to be a champion. We are here because he purchased me and gave his life for me. How can I not come to love him, to celebrate him who loved me? That is why we are here. But it brings one more question. Not only why, but how do I respond to that? How do I love him? If our mission, number one mission, is to love God, we as a church, we are to be loving. Our whole purpose for being here is to love God, to love one another. How do we do that? We're going to go just real quick because I think you know these, and it's just going to be a reminder. But first of all, we love him by obeying him. Jesus said, "He who says he loves me and does not obey me is a liar." Because if you love me, you will obey me. Now, it's not, we use that word obedience, and sometimes obedience is kind of a heavy word, but obedience, or following those guidelines, it's like a kid that says, "I want to be like you." See, the reason, here's how you love God. "I want to be like you. I love you so much, I want to be like you." That's what obedience is. That's simply what obedience is. I follow these guidelines because this is a revelation of what kind of God you are, a good God. So therefore, I want to be good. I follow these and I obey these laws so that I might be just like you. That word, "I want to be like Mike," I want to be like someone greater than Mike. And we're not talking about this Mike. And so if we love him, we need to obey him. Are you willing to do everything to be like him and to follow his commands? Because his commands are not commands. They are simply revelations of who he is, and I want to be like him. Second thing we need to do is communion. And I'm not talking the communion that we have at the first of the month. Here's how you love someone: "I want to be with them." Communion means I want to commune with you. I want to be with you. You see, the reason we come together, the people that don't like to come to church, or, "Man, can I serve God without coming to church?" Then they don't really love God, because when I love God, I want to be with him. And when I am with his people, then God is there in a greater way. He says, "When two or three are together, I am in the midst of them." In other words, it's a stronger word of presence. He says that I am with everyone, but when you come together, there is a strength of his presence. And to love him is to commune with him. It means to spend time in the word because I want to be with him. It means to spend time in prayer because I just want to be with him. The greatest thing that you can do to love God is to be with him. Spend time with him. You might say, "I don't know how to be with him." Then seek it out. then pray that. God, I don't, show me. God will lead you in that. As we come together, as we have communion with God's family, that shows that we love God. When we come together in fellowships and service and all those things, it is out of love that I just want to be with the presence of God. Not only communion, but giving. You see, I want to love God by giving to Him. How many know that when you really like someone, one of the greatest ways you love them is we love to give them little gifts. We love to show our love by giving things of ourself. The thing is, many times, we only give what we want. We need to learn, if we really love, when you really love someone, you give them what they want. Isn't it true that, let's say if you're a woman here and a man was courting you, and let's assume you're not a big sports fan, and he says, I love you so much, I just got you season tickets to the Clippers basketball game. Man, you're going to be like, thank you. Wow, you just really love me. Like our example, and Brittany will tell you, the greatest gift she ever got, and it just showed the love that there was here is a printer just for you. You're going to school, and now you can print things up. It's like, wow, it's good, and I need it, and I can use it, but you know what, and I appreciate it, but that is not the thing that just really reflected the love. And yet many times what we give to God, I love you so much, I got the season tickets for you, because really I get to go. Or I love you so much, God, here's a printer. I'm going to come to church. And we give God those things that we want, but we are not giving to God the desires of His heart. And if we love God, we need to ask, what can I give to God to show Him I love Him? Because if we really love Him, we want to give God what He desires. And He tells us what He desires. He says, you know what? Here's some of the greatest things that you can give me. Mercy and compassion to others. He says, you ask me, God, what do you desire? And it says in Micah chapter 6, he says, this is what I desire, that you walk in justice and you love mercy and you walk humbly with your God. So that's what you can give God. You can give Him your heart. You can give Him your life. This is what it means to love God. What are you giving God? Another thing, how do we love Him? By trusting Him. This is a big reason. You know, to say you love God, I love you, God, but I don't trust you. How many of us, we love God, and we would all say it, I love God, but if I ask you, would you trust God? Do you trust God in the direction of your life right now? Do you trust God in what you have been asked to go through? Do you trust God in what you've been reading and what God maybe has been putting on your heart that He really wants you to do? Do you trust God to do whatever He thinks is best for you next year? Oh, I love God. I love you, God. But come on now, fall in line. That's not love. You see, when we truly know the beauty of God, when we know the creation of God, when we know all those reasons why we love God, then you can truly trust God. And that's what shows Him you love Him. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk in a total trust of God. When you trust God, you are showing Him that you love Him more than anything, that He is the God that has made a difference in your life, and so therefore I can trust Him no matter what the cost, no matter what the fear, no matter what the pain that it causes you, because it's not about me, it's about I love you. And we all knew that when we love people in our life, we've been willing to do things that we don't like Because when you really love them, you get joy by just doing it and seeing them enjoy it, right? It's like, okay, let's put on the other thing, guys. It's like us, when we really love that girl, we're willing to go maybe to some plays that we may not like and sit there and like, is this really enjoyable? A musical. I've seen more musicals than I care to ever want to see again because of Michelle. I'm not a musical person. She would tell you that. And I don't go to all the musicals, and as we've grown, sometimes she goes and does that herself. But there are still times that I will go, not because she knows I don't like the musical or I don't like that girl flick, but I'll go because you know why? She knows that I love her. And I'll be with her. Sometimes we say, God, I don't always like what you've called me to, but I will take enjoyment in it because it's what you have called me. And I trust you and I love you and I trust in what you are doing is good. Another one is delight. And can you really love God without delighting in him? See, he wants you to love him because you love him. Now, that's the most simplest thing. He says, if you will delight in me, don't do it just because you have to. And it's good that you trust him, but sometimes he wants you to delight in him. He wants to be the joy of your heart. We need to understand that God himself just gives pleasure. When you begin to find pleasure in God, I'm telling you, everything changes, because then it moves from a duty to an actual connection. There is a communion there when you delight yourself in God. God, I enjoy. I'm not now coming to church because I have to or I want to. But God, when you're there, I find pleasure in serving you. I find pleasure in obeying you. I find pleasure in communion because I delight myself. When you truly come to know him, there becomes a delight in it. Now, sometimes this maybe is a more mature love. The more you love him, the more you come to find delight. Maybe if you're just starting out, it seems kind of hard because these things don't seem delightful. But I'm telling you, he says, know me. As you get to know me, I will bring pleasure in your life. One of the greatest promises, if you will delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. That's what God says to us. When you find pleasure in God and realize that the things of this earth are not the true pleasures, it says, then God has promised to start to pour out the desires of your heart. The problem is we got it backwards. God, you give me the desire of my heart, and I will delight myself in you. And you see, that's not how it works. You can't put it backwards. You cannot say, God, answer my prayer, oh, and that will delight me. No, God says, if you will delight yourself in me, when you begin to find me as your number one pleasure, then I will give you the desires. Many of us do not have the desires of our heart because I'm going to tell you right now, you have not delighted yourself in God. God is not your delight. God is your fire insurance. God is your escape, because I don't want to go to hell. But you don't delight yourself in God. When the promise is, if you will delight yourself in God, who knows what God will pour out that you have been missing, because you have chosen to have a hard heart and you have been stubborn, and I will not delight in God because I'm holding on to the hurt, because I'm holding on to the pain. And until that gets solved, I won't delight myself in God. And because of that, you are robbing yourself of the desires of your heart. The last thing, and we close with this. You know the last way you love God is with your mouth. You tell them. And how many like to hear when people love you? How many like to hear, man, I really love you. Man, you're looking good today. Man, I love being with you. I like that. Well, God's the same way. He likes to hear it. Not only we can do all those other things, but God still wants his people to praise him, to say it with their lips, to just begin to talk about the goodness of God. Maybe it's times when we don't feel like it, but I will still praise him. We sang that song, God, even in the desert places, I will choose to say, blessed be the name of my God. You see, it's when we praise God that we show our love. Because sometimes love is not an emotion. And here's where we move away from the delight. There's the delight and then there's the praise. Two sides of love. It's good that we feel the emotion, but sometimes love is I will choose. I will choose you. I love you so much that, you know what, right now I'm not very happy with you. Have we ever felt that way? But I know I love you, so I will choose to lift you up and to walk with you because I don't follow my heart sometimes. I follow my choice to love. And to praise God is a choice. It's a sacrifice. God says to bring unto me the sacrifices of praise. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise God. But here's the great thing. Many times when we make that sacrifice, I'm not happy with life. I'm kind of upset. I'm disappointed. Maybe we're depressed. But in the middle of my depression, my despair, I will choose to praise God. See, that's what Job did. That's where we got that song from, was Job. You can't tell me Job was happy. All of his kids had just been killed. He had lost all that he owned. His job was gone. He had nothing. Oh, God, you're a great God. No. He said, in spite of it all, I will choose to bless you because God gives and he takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Because I know that God is beautiful. I know that God has still created me. There's a reason why this has happened. I don't know why, but I choose to praise God. That's the sign of love. So today as we close, are we loving God in these ways? This is our mission. This is our number one mission. We can't do anything else until we enter this mission to love God. Are we obeying him? Are we coming together in communion? Are we giving to God? Are we trusting God? Do you delight in God? And finally, do you choose to praise God? I will lift him up. I will speak of him, not just in church, but even outside. I will praise God because I love him. And when we love God, we fulfill our meaning, our mission will be complete. There will be such satisfaction and fulfillment that you may not have ever imagined.